broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
The Rio Olympics kickoff. Instagram snaps up stories. Dina confirms Lindsay's pregnancy lies. Atlanta housewives Phaedra Parks faces a bomb scare. And Ozzy Osbourne is a confirmed sex addict. Richie Sky, co-host with me right now. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting across from friend of mine, DJ, host, show producer, Richie Sky.
Hey!
Good to have you in the studio talking and ranting with us.
I know, it's good to be here.
I'm excited to talk because I know you know so much of Hollywood and the topics, and you've got a story of your own.
Oh, yes.
You know, an East Coast boy.
Lots to talk about.
Yes. I can identify with Richie a lot of the hustle.
Yes, oh my God.
The hustle and the multiple jobs you have to have.
The hustle is
to
real.
To keep it real, you know? You produce a show similar, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Richie on the Rocks. It's on All Digital Radio. And we actually go live every Saturday at 9 Pacific Standard Time.
Where can you find that?
Just go to alldigitalradio.com and then just look for my show. It's Richie on the Rocks. And we have no sense on that show. And we do a similar thing, but it's kind of like we talk about the hot topics first, and then we always have a guest, and they come on the second hour, and then we kind of just hash it out with them about what they do. Mm-hmm. Anything that's dealing with Hollywood, we want to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Anybody that's working out here, because it's so fascinating, I feel like, to talk to different people and find out their perspective on what they do out here. Mm-hmm. You know? So
yes, I find the same thing on this show. It's equally as interesting. Yes. So let's talk about some things. But first, before we get into topics, let's talk about how we know one another.
Yes.
So
Real Housewives of Dallas.
Dallas Housewives. Yes.
That was interesting. That was like my first show, actually.
Yeah, really? That was your first show? Yeah.
First show there.
Yeah, I went into that show with like very high expectations. I was like, yes,
really?
Getting in on like the ground level of like a new franchise. Like, you know, like, because like I've never been like an original on any of those panels before. So I'm like, okay, cool. We just like make it our own. And then, I don't know, the numbers weren't as wonderful, perhaps, as like OC or New York.
It's difficult because it was the first season, so I don't know nowadays because the franchise has been so ingrained in pop culture for so long. I almost feel like when people come on those shows, they almost have to amp it up, and I couldn't tell what was going on there. You know what I mean? Like it was taking a slow start, slow build.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way with like Potomac. Like they were trying to do like the check the boxes of the Housewives,
exactly,
like, storylines,
exactly,
and archetypes and stuff like that.
Yep.
And it's like, I mean, a first episode, you really can't be in full-on fights. We don't even know you're... We can't even remember
exactly.
Who you are.
Like, I don't need to be in a full-on fight the first episode.
No.
My favorite first starting the season off, like, the franchise is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I feel like their first episode was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That whole first season was so amazing to me. It was so intriguing because... Normally, when things happen off camera, I feel like that makes the show more interesting. When something happens off camera that we can't really see and everybody has a different perspective on, that to me makes an intriguing season because unless it's where somebody says, you set me up, I hate that storyline.
Yeah. Because no one will ever cop to anything like that.
No, like, why? Yeah. Like, why are we talking about it? Right. Obviously, someone set someone up. Who cares? Like, you just deal with the aftermath. That's all I want to talk about.
Right. Well, from one set of Housewives games to the Olympic Games. Let's hear your thoughts on the games. I've looked at some of it. I looked at some of the opening summaries as long as I could take. It was kind of a lot. I will say it's very nice to see a lot of happy people coming together in a peaceful setting, like ready to have a good time. So that's a good thing. But you know, there's been already some things that are catching the eye of people, including myself. What do you think?
Can I just say this though? Like, okay, so this annoys the hell out of me because I feel like I want to watch my shows, and all of my Bravo shows are being preempted because I'm assuming it's because Bravo is owned by NBC.
Yes.
So
tennis on.
So I'm like, oh my God, all of my Housewives shows, which are all going to be amazing in the next coming weeks are gone. I can't watch anything. So I just feel like, really? Seriously?
Mm-hmm. Well, it used to just be NBC, and now it's covering, they're on all these cable networks that they own. So yeah, almost everything. It's summer's hard enough to find a good show to watch.
I know. And now it's like,
pretty barren as it is.
I don't know. I'm not an Olympics person. I'm like, okay, snooze fest. After the opening ceremony, I just like...
Yeah, I mean, you know, someone asked me, they said, well, Grant, what's your must watch? And I'm like, I don't have one. I've never had one.
Really?
The swimming is all right, and it's interesting because it's an actual race. Like, it's a track and field. It's like, you know, there's a clear front runner, and there's, first place. Yeah. It's very obvious to me. I don't care to watch basketball. I watch a little bit of the equestrian competitions, but that kind of went over my head a little bit because it wasn't really a race. It was more like how you can handle the horse.
Really?
So I was like, okay, all right. So I don't know. And, you know, I felt really bad. There was I didn't see the competition, but I saw the video of that gymnast, that French gymnast. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't.
He, Samir Aid Syed, I'm sure I'm saying his name wrong, but he had a very bad landing, and his leg turned the direction in which it shouldn't turn as he landed, and he's already planning to do the next 2020 Summer Olympics. Like, he's not going to let it stop him, but he has a long road ahead of him because the leg is, like, in the opposite, you know, it's not a natural state. It's going to be a long road ahead.
That's, I mean, my problem is I don't watch sports. when they're in season here.
Yeah.
So I'm probably not going to watch them for the Olympics.
Yeah.
But that's tragic about that. I feel like I've never broken anything, thank God.
Yeah,
but
me neither.
I feel like I've twisted my ankle, I've sprained my ankle, and that's enough to make me not want to do whatever I was doing at that point ever again. Like, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that I can just imagine the real excruciating pain coupled with the disappointment of knowing that this one moment you had, you screwed up.
And I know.
It's just horrible.
And they get sponsorships and things like that for this, right? So it's kind of like, do you lose that? Like, what does that mean?
I would hope not. If I feel like if it was in Hollywood, they'll
do it. And you're out.
But these athletes, I don't know, maybe there's a little bit more loyalty because that man is now trending. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this, it's not like he, like, you know.
God.
Just like, failed and walked off. I mean, he's now, I know his name. I wouldn't know his name.
That's true.
So who knows?
But damn, that's why you know his name, though. Like,
that's it. Yeah. Oof. Anyway, I felt bad for him, but I'm glad to see that people are coming together in a peaceful way. Who knows? Let's talk about Snapchat, Instagram stories, and the recent additions that we've received this last week.
Yes.
Now, Richie's very social media savvy. What do you make of this addition?
Oh, now, my God.
Something else to check.
You know, I, as much as, like, okay, so Instagram is my thing. I've always said pick one and dominate in that one. So
okay.
For me, that was Instagram. I was like, it's visual. It's now. You can sort of track how many people are following you, liking you, commenting, engaging. So I was like, this is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes Snapchat, and DJ Khaled gets trapped. You know, he's offshore somewhere, like, and he gets famous because of that. I mean, he was already famous, but now he's Snapchat famous, and now he's ruling Snapchat. And I don't know if you've ever tried to follow his Snap story, but it is literally impossible because he snaps every 5 minutes.
See, those are the people I can't keep up with.
It's just too much. Yeah. It's too much. Mm-hmm. So I finally said, you know, I'm going to get into Snapchat. I'm going to give it a go. I'm starting to build. Here comes InstaSnap, and I'm like, oh my God, like, what do I do? Like, as a sort of, I guess, a consumer, I'm like, I don't know which one to choose.
Right.
To me, though, InstaSnap is the obvious choice, though, because that's where all my followers are. So
go.
I feel
that's
like I'm going to do that.
Sense. Yeah.
But then I'm like, do I give up everything that I've done on Snapchat? Because I've invested time and energy into this.
I know.
It really is work. I mean, I understand why people don't get into it, but it is a lot of work.
It is. And it's like, because my mother just got on Snapchat to follow my sister and I this week. The very week that now we've switched over. So now she's got something else to download and learn.
But the crazy thing about it is, like, if you've been on Instagram, it's kind of like, okay, it's a no-brainer. It's all right there. And I feel like that's where Instagram has the advantage.
Yes.
You know, they've got the photos, and now you've got the videos. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, But the problem is, I don't even know half the people that I'm following on Instagram. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm looking at their Snap like stories.
Them. Yeah, I feel like I'm meeting them for the first time.
Who is this?
Yeah, same. So, yeah, well, Instagram seems to be a little bit more established. And the unanimous articles that I've been looking at, they all say, well, it's unanimous that Snapchat is more difficult to operate than Instagram, so Instagram is going to dominate that space. That's what everyone keeps saying.
Yep.
So who knows? But yeah, when do you kind of close up shop on Snapchat? You know, these social media platforms have become part of our lives, so it's like, when do you just abandon it?
I don't know. I keep saying that you can find remnants of me on Snapchat now because I'm going to do a little bit of it, but just because it's still there until it becomes sort of like not the thing. But like, I really feel like I'm going to focus my efforts on Instagram since like I've gotten sponsorships and that sort of thing from Instagram. So I'm like, I'm going to stay there. You know what I mean? Like,
that's made for you. Yeah.
No, not giving that up.
Instagram is owned by Facebook and they've come up with different Snapchat copies over the years. And they had one recently called Quick Updates, but the company won't release that because now they've taken over this.
No need.
Yeah, on Instagram. Yeah, there's just no need. And, you know, at first I was like, oh, am I going to read like a huge, like, class action lawsuit, like Snapchat's been buying up property wherever they can find it in Venice and Santa Monica, so they're very much on the up and up expansion side. So now it's like, what's happening here?
I wonder, did they know? Like, did they know Instagram was planning this big, like,
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, that's fascinating to me. I didn't hear a thing either. Yeah. So when it came out, I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
I was intrigued.
Well, it is legal because the concept of stories or statuses cannot be patented. So it's like,
can't do anything about it.
Yeah, you can't do anything about it. So it will survive and make your decision wisely.
Mm.
Another thing to check and another decision to make.
I know.
All right, Lindsay Lohan. Let's talk about her. I was not on the show when the whole video was released about her with the Igor and the rooftop video from the neighbor, and then she released that she was pregnant, and then she was chain smoking on a boat with beer. I have to talk about it. I love following them, but the engagement is off. Lohan talked to Mail on Sunday, and I don't know who they are, and she said, the truth is I wanted to make things work, but now I'm not sure if I can. There's been numerous incidents, like arm twisting, and like he'd come in, like he's 23, she's 30. He'd come in like late at night and be like, quote, a different person and all this. So, yeah, it's pretty much off. But I had to talk about it once Dina got involved. Everyone knows I love Dina. I have a picture of her on my bedside table. So Dina had to speak out about this, and she's let everybody know that unlike the ex-husband, who said that she was pregnant, she's not. It was just an exaggeration, she said. It was an overreaction, that was how she put it, to the unrolling of everything that happened with the ex-fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
So, once Dina gets involved, I have to be. So, what do you think of all of this?
So,
what's left to say about Lindsay?
I feel like I have a long history with Lindsay because I was collecting OK magazines and, you know, In Touch and all of those back when she was, like, really in her heyday and going crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So, I feel like this is just her back to her old tricks again. Like, it feels like classic Lindsay. Like, she went from Mean Girls to just, I don't want to say just trash, like, it's just all trashy behavior from somebody that we were all rooting for.
Right.
But I kind of get into it because it's kind of scandalous. I mean, that was when her, Paris, and Britney were all like, you know what I'm saying?
It's
like
what's left of that era.
It was the trifecta of amazingness for tabloid gossip. And I feel like we don't have that anymore.
Some people are just always in a perpetual mess. And that's that family to me.
You know what? I used to have a coworker like that, and I described her as Pigpen because from Charlie Brown, because everywhere she went, I felt like there was this cloud of disarray and things around her. So I kind of think that that might be the case with Lindsay. I mean, I just don't think that it's going to be an easy road for her to ever get it right.
No, and I must reference that own documentary that I talk about every time I talk about Lindsay on here. But that just proved to me did you watch that?
Yes.
Everybody watched that, yet nobody watched it, according to Nielsen. What a joke. In that documentary, she said that she was pregnant then, too. So it's just, she knows that that is going to tick people off. She knows that that's like the hot button issue that's going to get her press and all the attention she wants. So that's the line.
You know what? When I looked at the photos and that sort of thing, the thing that really disappointed me most was she almost looked pregnant in those photos.
Yeah.
But then I was like, girl, can you get some shots in your derriere? Like, I just want her to... Like, it just clued me in onto, like, she has the flattest behind I've ever seen. Yeah. Just totally irrelevant to the story. But I was just thinking to myself, in today's age of buttocks enhancement, like, girl, why haven't you jumped on the trend? Yeah. I just feel like the road for, like, the opportunity for her to get on track and get back to where she was is always open. I feel like everyone wants that door open for her.
Yeah.
But I feel like she doesn't want it open for her. Like, it's just like she keeps self-sabotaging it, and I don't get it.
Yeah, that's some, like, deep-seated, like,
exactly,
thing you have to address.
So it makes me wonder, like, if Britney can come back from 2007...
And look at her today.
Look at her today. Yeah. Lindsay Lohan... Mm-hmm. Can make a comeback.
Yes. I think most people want that, but who knows what's going to happen. I mean, I do feel bad for her in a sense if she did feel like she found someone that she could spend the rest of her life with, and then that's the end of that, because she has no stability in her life. Like, it must suck to have to be, like, go from engaged to being, like, completely alone again.
I get it, but we all go through that.
Yeah.
This isn't anything new, that she's experiencing. And I can't say that it's because she's in the spotlight, because, I mean, really, like, she's not that much in the spotlight anymore. So it's kind of like, what do you do?
What do you do? Well, let's talk about another person who could use some help, perhaps, or is willing to give help. Phaedra Parks.
Yeah.
was in quite
Shady
a scandal.
Phaedra.
She's one of my favorites.
She's one of mine, too.
Yeah, I love her. She's great on that show. She needs
Amazing.
To stay on that show.
Amazing.
So her office was threatened to be blown up. There was a bomb threat in her office. And what is his name? Drama or something? Something like, do you know
She's
this
actually
rapper?
Made reference to him before, but I don't know his work.
No, I'm not familiar either.
I am not familiar. I do not spend his work at my clubs.
Yes. So this gentleman, we can call him, I guess, showed up. And showed out with this security guard, went to the wrong office, demanded to see Phaedra, said, what is it? He had like a bomb-ass CD or something in his car. And so the person and the behind the desk took it way too seriously and thought that he had a bomb on him.
Let me tell you something. This sounds so cockamamie to me. You cannot... How would you ever confuse... First off, how would you ever confuse someone saying that I have a bomb-ass CD in my car with I have a bomb? You know what I'm
right.
saying? Like, so I'm thinking
That's
to myself, that doesn't sound... Something sounds fishy with that story. Like,
yeah.
I felt like he really came there with the intent to do some type of harm. And, you know, Phaedra got wind of the situation, and somehow she probably knows his family.
Oh, yeah.
And they've talked him down off the ledge, and he's realized the error of his ways. And, you know... It could be drug-related. I don't know. This is all in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking to myself, she wants to just, you know, get him out of the spotlight. She wants to wrap up the situation nicely and move along.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think happened, personally. Because I'm thinking to myself, that sounds so crazy.
Right. It's interesting how Phaedra is still kind of in a world of a messy life, a little bit. You know, she's got one image going over here, but in her personal life, you know, she's dabbling in a mess
I don't know, but I think that's what I love about her. I mean, there's this whole dichotomy of the Southern Belle, but yet you married a criminal. You know what I'm saying? And, like, you didn't know about his criminal activities.
Yeah,
like,
that's another side.
I find it fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a lawyer.
Yes.
Like, you were missing the signs all this time?
Well,
maybe she should just stick with funeral directing and stuff.
Yeah, I think she should relax with all these people because it doesn't sound like they're a good group of people.
No.
Yeah, she said that now that she believes it was racial profiling because he had gold teeth and baggy clothes. So they said, well, that's going to be the reason why we're going to go after him. So now he was booked for terroristic threats. And she's held without bail, and now she's letting everyone know that she's helping him find representation in the law.
This is such an odd story.
Yeah.
Like, the twists and turns just don't, like, I'm amazed by this.
And they're in production now on Atlanta Housewives, right? So you know this will be on the show.
It should be.
Yeah.
It absolutely should be. I don't know what else she has going on this season, so that should be interesting to see.
I mean, they had, I saw a video, they had the bomb squad go into the building. They had to go and, like, do, like, special searches in his car. Like, the money wasted on this.
But you know what, though? Like, if someone says that they have a bomb, I mean, I just, the threat level from someone saying bomb ass CD to a, I have a bomb, it's just, you can't misconstrue that. That's what's so difficult for me to believe. Like, why is she trying to make us believe that this is what he said?
Yeah.
I can't buy it. I'm sorry.
I think that maybe he was just totally out of it on something.
Exactly.
And they just misconstrued what he said because he probably didn't say it correctly. He probably didn't say, he probably didn't enunciate like this. Like, I have a bomb ass CD in my car downstairs. He probably was like, Ozzy Osbourne, I probably didn't know what I was saying. And so it's like, you probably have no idea. So they just heard the word bomb, they're like, wait, you have a bomb in your car? And of course, you know, being a security guard, you can't really, like, if they overlooked that and it was a real threat, you know, you'd be screwed over.
It's such a hot situation.
Yeah. Hmm. Mess follows her. She's another one. I watched her too.
Shady Feifei.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mess, and we just talked about Ozzy, is the situation now with Kelly Osbourne. There's a lawsuit with his, what can we even call this girl?
Mistress.
Mistress. Michelle Pugh. Or doesn't even sound very attractive.
It's not.
I am not a fan of any of the Osbournes, not one of them, as particularly Kelly. I don't enjoy her on any level whatsoever. She's someone that I think really needs to sit down. She's always got something that she's trying to stir up.
She is. You know when I loved the Osbournes was when they first started on MTV. I felt like those were the days where reality TV was pure and we had no idea what was going on with them. I could not understand a word he said. I had no idea what was wrong with this family, but I was riveted by it.
Yes, yes.
I can't really describe it. Like, I just felt like that was classic television.
Yeah.
Now.
That put a lot on the map, for sure. Those are days gone by, sadly.
I know.
And now it's, everything is so overproduced. Even like if you look back at like, I always talk about Flavor of Love, but if you look back at certain clips, they would look at the camera, they would reference production, like they would break so many rules that you absolutely can't do now. And that just made it so much more real.
I know. I loved it. But now it's kind of like, you kind of know what to expect. You know what I'm saying? And you kind of almost feel like sometimes some people are amping it up for the drama. And if you look at a franchise like Love & Hip Hop and it's like, oh my God, this looks like a music video. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I miss the days of pure reality television where you had no idea what was going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Now with all these blogs, you can predict. Like right now, it's not Phaedra. Like we know probably a storyline is going to happen in the coming season that comes out this fall, which will probably play out early next year.
Mm-hmm.
And we already can predict it. If we just saw that and we're like, whoa, there was like a bomb threat on Atlanta.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, it's true.
And now we know.
But anyway, back to these jackasses. Kelly is tweeted out this Michelle's phone number and instead, like, what did she say? Like, go after her or something, or like, call her, she's a whore or something like that. And then she said that her father's almost 70, so she said it was elder abuse. And then it came out that Sharon said on the talk that he has a sex addiction.
You know, if I am ever caught cheating, that is the excuse I'm going to use. Because it seems to work for everyone in Hollywood. Like, a sex addiction. Why didn't I think of that? I'm not able to control my sexual urges, so I had to go out and have sex with someone else.
There you go,
And this makes sense how. Like, really?
Yeah, and it's like, she's married to this guy and she doesn't know that. Like, wouldn't you know that?
After how many years?
Yeah. So she was so hurt and so surprised when he cheated on her. But yeah, he's addicted to literally everything else. He has an addictive personality. He's almost 70 and it's coming out now. Not like when he was like 18 when his sexual drive was like the highest it could be.
I mean, I think she's just trying to save face at this point because she's not going to leave him. She's not going to leave Ozzy.
Those two can have each other. All of them can go off on a boat and disappear.
You know, this Michelle lady, I just kind of feel like she's saying that, you know, he made her feel like the love of his life, this, that, and the third. And I'm like, girl, really? Like, you knew this man was married. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's obvious. How
do they allow themselves to be talked into this? What is the allure of Ozzy Osbourne at this point? I just don't get it.
I don't either.
Like, I could see if he was like, you know, if it was Brad Pitt or somebody, you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. I know, on any level, I can't imagine any, I mean, even, I was always surprised, I always wonder what Sharon saw in him. And they legitimately had, like, a love connection. This girl is just a hairdresser.
It's so interesting to me because Sharon Osbourne at least seems very business savvy to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, I mean, maybe it's just the allure of a rock star. I mean, I have no idea, but...
Well, I don't want to see Kelly win this. I don't enjoy her. I don't think she needs to win it.
I think that's why she has a hard time keeping a job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's sometimes like you have to know when and what to speak about publicly.
Exactly. This is not like the first, second, or third time.
No, it's not. Her mouth has gotten her into trouble a lot.
Yeah. And she just seems like she's feels very entitled. Like she can say these things. She like wants to be like her mother. You know, but the mother isn't that, like you said, she's a businesswoman. She's not that stupid.
Right.
She doesn't just say things to be heard.
Exactly.
So this girl, Michelle, claims that she lost business because of this. So this is why she's suing for defamation and all that. I think the whole thing, I think they're all a bunch of trashy people. And I mean, I think it's terrible. But I don't want her to win.
The mistress
I don't want Kelly to win. I want Kelly to pay.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't enjoy her.
The mistress should not be able to sue for defamation of character. Your actions have defamed your character.
That's true. It takes two to tango. No one forced her.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So now that it's public, I mean, that should be what you're worried about.
Yeah. It's hard to lose. It's hard to win a defamation case anyway. So, but, I mean, yeah, that Kelly should definitely not be putting out anyone's phone number on Twitter, but is that enough to bring it before a judge?
I'm trying to think what I would do if somebody did that to me. I don't know what I would do. I don't think I would be...
The hell out of this podcast.
Exactly. Like, really. Like, watch my... Like, leave a nice long voicemail message listing out all my social media, yeah, where to follow me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm just like, I don't think I would be that upset.
No. But then again, I wouldn't put myself in that situation either.
Exactly. There you go.
Neither of us will be lusting after Ozzy anytime soon.
Throws up.
Yeah, not happening. That's a guarantee. That's my new thing. It's like everything that I keep saying, it's like certain things in life, like a guarantee. Like that movie Sausage Party, guaranteed not watching that movie. What the hell is that? What?
You know, we talk about that on Box Office Breakdown, and we're all trying to figure out what it is. And I'm like, I kind of want to see it, but I kind of like... I just only want to see it so I can talk about it.
Yeah, no. Anything that Jonah Hill is into is another guarantee. Not happening. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get what people see in him.
That is the thing that I love most about you, is you are very like... You either love it or you hate it.
I'm in or out. I just go in between.
There is no gray with you. It's black or white.
Yes.
I'm going to do it. I'm totally never going to do that.
Yeah, that's like a guarantee of something not happening.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I would do, here's something I would do. I would go to this new bar. There's a bar in L.A. called Nickel Bar. Brand new, opened at the beginning of the month of August. And it has bathrooms that are separated by Bruce and Caitlyn Jenner. On one door, there's the Vanity Fair cover, and the other door is the Wheaties box, and then some, you know, other images in between of iconic moments. And so that kind of differentiates the room where you would go to use the bathroom. And they said that this has not been met with any offense or any controversy yet. They said most people get it. I would be curious to check it out, but I feel like I get it. I don't really need to go there to see it.
You know, when I saw it, I was just kind of like, I thought it was dope because I feel like it's just an acknowledgement of what's going on right now in pop culture.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was derogatory or like offensive because obviously Bruce is on the men's side, Caitlyn is on the women's side. It's really an acknowledgement of who he was and who she is now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, it's a bathroom, too.
Yeah.
It's a bathroom.
I really don't think anyone is going to take offense to that. And if they do, what is the... I don't understand these people. Personal effects, these personal damaging the actions around these people.
Yeah.
They get so aroused and upset over it. Just don't go to this bar,
Sometimes people look for reasons to be offended.
That's
what I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm like, we live in such a litigious culture, too. So it's like... You say the wrong thing, and it's kind of like, oh my God, like everybody's in an uproar. And it's kind of like, really, sometimes you just need to let things go. Yeah. Everything does not require a response.
Right.
You know?
That's so true.
And I feel like you kind of get that as you kind of, like, hopefully some people get it as they get older. But, you know, it's just kind of like, I don't have to respond to that. I don't need to even address it. Like, why are we talking about it? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Why is that an issue? I think it's cool. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think it's like, that's a novel concept. Why didn't somebody think of that before?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first time that these pop culture references ripped from printouts and ads and magazines. I mean, look at, like, Barney's Beanery or something.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's great. Now that the show is canceled, the memory lives on.
There you go. Yeah. And who is surprised?
Did you watch the show?
No, I saw clips because I was curious.
I always wanted to watch it.
For this show, yeah. I felt like I should watch a little bit of it. But, no, I mean, it just it didn't appeal to me at all.
Was it boring?
Yeah, it was fine. I don't really feel like... trying to, like, go there politically a little bit, and then, you know, she would dial it back. And then it was, like, a lot of her older transgender friends. It just did not fit
E. Oh, I don't want to see that.
It did not fit E whatsoever.
I want to see it being fun, flashy, and fabulous. Like, I mean, you're a woman now, so I want to see you living it up. And I want to see the process of what you go through when you get your shots and all this. I want to see all of that. I don't want to see. I don't really need to see you going to the political rallies. I don't need to see hanging out with, you know, some.
She was going to speak, and then they were going to tour bus to Vegas to go to. Yeah. Not something that you would DVD.
No, on. You got to mix that stuff in with other, like, fun stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
I think it's time to let Caitlyn do her thing outside of the spotlight now. I think we've all got it out of our system.
Caitlyn just wanted the spotlight like the rest of the family.
Well, I wouldn't blame her if she wanted her moment in the sun. Because the other...
They found a way to make it work ladies, in some way, shape, or form. And I don't think that's going to be... I don't know if that's going to be the same for Caitlyn.
No.
Because I just don't feel like she's that interesting.
I feel like, Caitlyn, you go out, you live your life, stay away from the cameras, do your own thing. You've got a lot of time to make up for it. Don't worry about trying to shoot a reality show.
And, Caitlyn, I say you need to jazz it up so you can come back for season 3 with Ryan Seacrest producing in a different way.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
And we're back talking with Richie Sky. And we went together last weekend in Malibu, of all places. And we talked about it earlier. We both co-host the Dallas After Show over at AfterBuzz TV. And we had guest co-host Heidi Dillon come into the studio.
Heidi effin' Dillon.
Yes, the queen of effin' everything, as she wants us to reference her as. And she said, oh, I'm coming to Malibu for the summer. I want to see you. And we're like, okay. Mm-hmm. It was really going to happen. We didn't know.
Yes.
Then we get these text messages. We're like, oh, it's happening. And we were in. We went with Blake, other co-host on Grant's Rants, multiple episodes. We love Blake.
Love her.
So she joined us, and we went to a lovely restaurant, sat in a $100 million house on the beach. We had a nice Sunday, to say the very least.
I was, like, excited/nervous about it. I don't know why. Like, I was thinking to myself, like, oh, like, knowing she said that she wanted to hang out, I was like, oh, yes. Because, you know, some people say that, and it's like you never hear from them.
Mm-hmm.
No. When she got back, she was like, when are we hanging out? And I was like... Oh, so this is really happening right now.
Yeah.
And then when we set the weekend, it was like, she said, oh, I'm going to make reservations, this, that, and the third. I was like, oh, this is really happening right now. So then I started to get kind of nervous, and I don't know why. Like, because I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah, I was excited. I was just like, I'm going for the ride. I'm probably going to have a glass of champagne, so it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, I don't know. This could last an hour, could last 5 hours. Who knows? So I was just kind of in. You know, I knew I could talk with almost anyone.
Yeah.
And I knew I had a lot of questions. So I was like, I can keep the conversation going. It won't be awkward.
And she's a very intriguing person who has done so much.
Yes.
So for me, it was just like, it was interesting to kind of sit with her and learn more about her, but like also get a chance to sit with you and Blake. And it was just a cool little group and just a great Sunday. Like, I just, I really needed that.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that because I spent so much time doing this and doing that. So it was great to get out of Hollywood and into Malibu, sit by the ocean, have some drinks and good food. Oh my God, it was fun. I just want to do it again.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for Dallas to return, and I want to see more of Heidi, and I want to go to one of her parties. I'm just putting that out there.
Oh my God. I feel like that would be so amazing. Like,
I'll do whatever she tells me. I'll do anything. I got nothing to lose.
Heidi is such an interesting character, and she's a lot of fun, and I feel like she's real. Like, that's the thing that I really love about her. I feel like she means exactly what she says, and she really listens. When she asks questions, and then when you answer, she's really taking it all in. And I'm like, that's so interesting to find, especially out here.
Very rare. Yeah. Well, from one housewife to the other, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about OC. What are you thinking about OC?
Okay, so listen, I am a huge OC fan. Huge.
Yeah. Oh, huge. Such a good season.
Well, first off, for me, I find Shannon to be one of the most intriguing housewives to ever, aside from Dorinda, to come on a season, because I just feel like she really put it all out there every season. Like, the good, the bad, the ugly. I mean, I never get the sense from Shannon that anything is planned.
Yeah.
I feel like she just is kind of like, I'm here. If she's offended by something, she's offended by it. You know what I'm saying? When she's angry, she's screaming and yelling. You know, she reacts. And I feel like that's what... It's not calculated. So to me, her first season was like crazy to me. It was amazing. The next season with the whole Brooks thing was even more of a page turner, because I had no idea where that was going.
Yeah.
And then this season to me feels like, what the hell is happening here? Like, and I'm not sure how I feel about this Kelly Dodd lady.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really care for her as a person, but she's entertaining to watch.
She's entertaining, but I just almost feel like there's the whole idea of I was set up by somebody. And I'm like, you're on a reality show. The producer set you up.
I don't think that girl was set up by Shannon.
I don't think she was set up by Shannon either. I don't think Shannon would do that.
Yeah. But that's an interesting take, because it's always like, was she set up or wasn't she? But you're saying that it was production, and I believe that.
I just feel like, I don't feel like Shannon would have maliciously set out to do that. I don't think she's that person.
Yeah.
I think that she may have been an unwilling participant in a possible setup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it just happened to work out in that way, and it caused a huge explosion. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I just don't feel like she would do that.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think so
either. I feel like I need to campaign for Shannon. Like, I love her.
She needs some help, yes. So when you're not watching Housewives, you're the old Bravs, what else are you up to? I know that you've been DJing out here for years back on the East Coast.
Yep, I started DJing by accident, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I just would bring music to parties because all my friends knew I had like a huge library of music. And then next thing you know, people started asking me how much I charged. And I was like, well, in my head, I'm like, I don't know. Let me get online and find out how much DJs charge. And so then after that, as I was like going from party to party, like with my laptop, my friend said, you might want to get some equipment. I said, you're right. Mm-hmm. I will do that. So the next party, I had my little board and I was like doing my thing. But the problem is, I was horrible as a DJ.
Oh.
I was great at knowing what music to play. So really, it was just me playing song after song after song. There was no mixing involved. Yeah. It was just me back there like, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm getting paid for it and I'm drinking all the time. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, what's happening here? And then it was the next thing I knew, I'm in New York. I'm DJing at Pride in New York. And then after that, I'm in Puerto Rico. Then I'm in Miami. And I'm like, how did this happen to me? Wow. Like, I don't... like
literally fell into
it. Yeah, literally. I mean, it was just like one gig led to another, led to another, led to another. And then I thought, well, maybe I should start marketing myself a little bit more. So then I started handing out flyers and that sort of thing. And I started to notice that my social media accounts were like starting to like, you know, kind of grow and grow and grow. And I was like... oh, like, this is really doing something for me. So I just kind of kept doing it. Then I had this idea.
Well, around what time period was that? I'm just curious, year-wise, with social media. Like, did you get in on, like, the beginning of all that?
I wouldn't say the beginning. I started DJing seriously probably about 6 years ago.
Okay.
And it was just gradually over time that I started to notice certain things working together. You know what I'm saying? And then last year, it was so funny. In 2014... I had done a scene for a reality, no, not a reality show, a web series. I was in one scene. But that scene was in that episode that got submitted for the Daytime Emmys. And this was the first year that they started doing the new approaches category.
Right, yeah.
So that ended up being last year that it got submitted. So I found myself at the Emmys last April. And I was like, you know, what the hell am I doing here? Like, yeah. how am I here? Like, I was in one scene. Like,
yeah.
But because I was in it, I was able to, you know, go. And obviously, you have to pay for it and everything. And so I came out here and I said, you know what? I'm moving to L.A.
Yeah, that was
so
it.
So 2 months later, I was here.
That's great. What was the web series?
It was called Anacostia, the series.
Okay, yeah,
so they're in season 4 right now, going into season 5.
I've heard of them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
The big competition with that was The Bay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of soap stars in both of those. Yeah, that's where a lot of them are going.
Yeah.
For sure, so it's very interesting. That was the moment for you.
That was the moment. And the funny thing about it was I was putting together my album then, because I've been rapping since I was 13. So I was like, DJing became a way for me to play my own music. So that was another thing that I was doing. I was performing a lot, and I finished the album, and then the album was scheduled to come out in August 28th. But then I moved out here, and I was like, what the hell am I doing? Like, I'm really jeopardizing putting out this album, and I'm coming to a place where nobody knows me. Yeah. So I kind of feel like I need to, like, do that whole process over again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to work on more music, because I always envision myself being, like, the Calvin Harris, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, a David Guetta.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted for myself. As a DJ, I've always wanted to end up in Vegas.
You were always interested in music, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that was part of your family and all of that, right?
My dad's a musician. My mom sang. So I was just like, my dad played bass guitar, drums, like keyboard. He did a lot. So I was like, I guess I should be doing this stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're just doing like the modern version of all of that.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Putting it all together myself.
Yeah.
And I did everything myself. All my music videos, everything. I just did it myself. Mm-hmm. But I fell into hosting when I was in D.C. because a friend of mine asked me to do a web, like a sort of like thing on the web, and we called it the Morning Wood Show.
Oh,
and so we started interviewing. Literally, we did our first episode. We put it out there. We got a nice reaction to it. And then somebody asked us to come to New York for an interview. And I was like, what? You know, so we did that.
Yeah.
And then we started interviewing people. And then we started doing this first Friday happy hour. And so there I started DJing every first Friday. So that sort of helped me as a DJ to start getting more notoriety in DC.
Yeah.
And, you know, people started to kind of notice. And everybody would come to that event. Like, it was huge when it first started. So, yeah, it was fun.
Now, when you came here, how did you kind of rebuild or build from the ground up?
Oh my God. Like, that was the hardest thing, and it was also the most depressing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you kind of start all over with nothing.
Yeah.
And so I had no idea where to begin. And the funny thing about it is I'd moved into with my friends in Burbank. And I just remember one day I drove by. I was on whatever that, I think it was Burbank Boulevard.
Yeah.
And I drove by AfterBuzz. And I said, I want to work there. But I had no idea really what they did.
Yeah.
I was just like, I saw the sign, it just looked cool, and I was like, oh my God, like, what do they do? So I started researching it. And sooner or later, I started sending them emails, and like, nobody had responded. So I was like, well, I really don't care. I'm going to keep emailing you until you email me back. Finally, they did. I came in for the whole like informational session and all that good stuff, sent them my information, and next thing you know, I mean, it was a couple of months later, but
yeah,
I ended up at AfterBuzz.
I love that you got in there on your own, you know?
I'm that type of person.
Yeah.
Like, when I first DJed at Mickey's, I walked up to the promoter and I said, you need to have me DJ at your club. You know, I don't believe in waiting around for somebody to, you know, give you a hand, because I don't feel like I deserve that. You know what I mean? I feel like you have to literally make yourself seen and heard.
Right.
And if you don't, like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
You know,
you have to be your own manager. You have to represent yourself.
You do.
Yeah. Anything else is a bonus, but you can't wait for anything.
And I don't mind bothering somebody. I have no shame when it comes to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I feel like something needs to happen for me, then the only person that's has something to gain really sometimes is me. So I can't expect to be the other person's priority.
No.
You know what I mean? And
no,
I know people are busy.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to continue to pound the pavement and sometimes knock on the same door 2 or 3 times.
Yep. I love that you just walked up to that promoter and was just bold and very East Coast. I feel like that wouldn't happen. I don't feel like that would happen if you're, like, an L.A. native, you know?
No.
Because you just get hooked up anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
you don't have to, certain people don't have to be that way. But people like us too. We're fine doing it.
Yeah, I feel like that's what we've been doing. I mean, I feel like if you live on the East Coast, I feel like that's just ingrained in you.
Yeah.
Like you just know to do that because you know people have to like hear you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's what I've been doing at this point.
And with that, like you mentioned, building all of your social media accounts. Mm-hmm. What are some tips that you might have for people that are trying to build their brand?
You know what's funny? I would say a couple of things that are quite obvious. One, take great photos and great videos. Like, you would be surprised by sometimes what I see, I guess what we all see when people are posting on social media. Like, grainy pictures, you know what I'm saying? Like, just stuff like that. Like, nobody's going to really, you know, maybe your friends are going to like that. But people who just happen to come on your page, they're not going to like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you have to post, like, great photos, great content. That's the first thing. Hashtags are the second thing. Honestly, like, I hashtag the hell out of every post that I make. You know, I have no problems with it. I have friends that I tell, I need you to comment on every post that I make. Like, because people want to see engagement. And I'm not afraid to say that.
Right.
But I know that I have dedicated friends who are going to, like, comment even if nobody else does.
Right.
So people like what other people like.
Mm-hmm.
So once I started to notice that, you know, things started to kind of build over time because I was also handing out flyers. At my gigs, I used to, like, hand out, here, you take one, follow me, please follow me, did you like my set? You know, I was that guy.
Right.
So I think that kind of paid off for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then having other people feature me on their Instagrams or, you know, their Twitter, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, like, you do the magazine stuff, you do blog posts, you know what I'm saying? And they feature you as well. So then you're starting to get more people coming to your site. The other thing is, once you get featured on Instagram, I mean, it's kind of, that's pretty much a wrap for you right there. Like, you start to just build after that. Because people will start following you just because they see that you're featured.
Right. There you go. What do you have to do to be featured, though?
I really don't know. I was featured and somebody told me I was featured. So I was like, okay, well, that's cool. But otherwise, it's like I've done a lot of promoting. And I will ask bloggers to promote me. I don't have a problem with doing that. And I feel like you have to say to people, can you do this for me? You know, and then what do I get out of it? I don't know what to get out of it. You just have to present something.
Yeah.
Everything that you do, I feel like you just have to, like, tell people what you want. If they do what they do, if they don't, they don't. You move on to the next thing.
Right.
You can't be afraid of the no. Mm-hmm. You know?
So on the hosting side of your life, what are your goals in that realm?
When I was a little kid, I always wanted to be on Entertainment Tonight. That was my dream job. Like, I watched it every night as a kid. I don't know why, but in the back of my mind, that's what I knew I wanted to do. So when I did the Morning Wood Show, I realized that I was pretty good at it. My co-host was actually funnier than me. But I was more focused. I was probably the more driven person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like I have a natural curiosity about people. And I feel like that makes you a good host. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, when you are curious, like, genuinely curious about other people, it makes you a great interviewer. It makes you question things. And you, like, right. And I feel like that is what makes a really, really good host. So I did that. I started to fill in on a show on DCTV called We Speak. It was a panel show, so I was the fifth panel member. And so from there, the producer asked me if I wanted to do my own show. I said, sure.
Yeah.
So with that show, we would literally film 4 episodes in a day. So I had to literally come up with the guests, the questions, you know, do all the changing of the outfits. I would have to bring in my friends to, you know, assist and all that good stuff. And luckily, I have to say this. Shout out to my core group of friends because they have helped me with everything that I've ever done. And I don't know why they believed in me. Every time I had an idea about something, they would be like, okay, I'll help you. And I think it was because they saw that I was doing things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I wasn't just talking about it. I had an idea and I would say, I need your help, you know,
well,
and they were there.
That's the difference right there, especially living in this city,
Yeah.
Like, execution and follow through is more rare than people think.
Yeah, so from there, And then again, even with that, you know, we were ready to do more episodes with that, but I had decided to move to LA. So I was oh my God, I'm giving up everything right now.
Wow.
Literally everything.
So with this 4-episode project you worked on, was this on the digital side of WeTV? What was this exactly?
Well, it was for DC TV, and it was actually on TV. Oh, and you can find it online too. We actually ended up doing 8 episodes because I had more time. My executive producer was really mad at me because he was like, we were gearing up to do all this summer. And I was like, well, I mean, I feel like now is the time for me to go, and I have to go. You know, I feel like you have to follow your intuition.
Yeah.
So I did.
Well, it doesn't seem like you're in bad shape. It seems like, you know.
A year later.
Yeah. You're lucky though it only took you a year. You know, I mean, it's as tough as it was. I mean, people are still... It took me a long time.
Really? You know? I mean, everybody... Yeah. I've heard people say that, but for me, it's felt like the hardest year of my life. And I've had a lot to learn over this year. But I think now coming on this side of it, it's just made me realize that you have to work even harder than I thought I was working before.
Yep. Would you do it again?
Yeah, but I would do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
So many things I would do differently.
Yeah.
My expectations of people and things would be different. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I would have came in with a different approach. Because I felt like when you move here from a different place, you're used to living a certain type of way. So your mentality is that same way. But when you come here, you have to change your mentality because Hollywood works differently.
Right.
You know, Hollywood does not work like the business world or the corporate world or the government world works. Hollywood is its own thing. And you have to sort of, think, am I going to work in Hollywood or around it?
Right.
You know? And I feel like for me, it's been easier to work around it to get in it.
Yes.
If that makes any sense.
It does. I mean, producing your own stuff.
Yeah.
Your show. My show. I mean, yeah.
Exactly. And so I feel like people take notice of those things.
Yeah.
And when you do those things, they lead you in these different paths. And you're like, wow, I didn't know that this person would have seen me here and recommended me for a DJ gig here. You know what I mean?
Right.
I met someone at AfterBuzz, and he recommended me for a gig at a club, and now I do every, like, the last Wednesday of every month at Cobra in North Hollywood. So I'm like, who knew, like, that would happen just because I was there doing the work. You know what I mean?
Right, yep.
So
that is, like, gold. That's once you're on that track where you can meet those people and make those connections like that, and you build and build and build. That's when the ball is rolling and you're in it, and it takes a long time to get that momentum.
It does, but it's unexpected, and you just have to stay in that zone of doing the work, not even having that expectation, just enjoying it. And for me, I will say this: like, working at AfterBuzz has been the thing that really made me feel normal again. In the sense that I had been so focused on the things that had happened to me since I moved here, but working at AfterBuzz gave me an outlet to do the things that I love to do and be surrounded by people that are interested in the same things. And it just felt like that I didn't feel any, there was no backstabbing, there was no using of anybody. It was just, everybody was just there to work and have fun.
Right.
You know, and I needed that.
Yeah, you need a safe space. Like, that's my outlet for all that, too. I don't know how people do it who just go to these cutthroat jobs, like these agencies, and, like, you know, you're being thrown under the bus, and, yeah, I don't know how people do it. So, yeah, we're lucky to have that, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming in and talking with us.
You're welcome.
Yes. So, what do you want to promote? What's coming up for you?
Oh, my God. I have... I'll be spinning at Cobra the last Wednesday of this month. I do box office breakdown on Monday nights. That is probably one of my favorite shows to do, simply because the audience is so interactive. So, I love doing that. That's Monday nights at 10, but obviously, they can just catch it on AfterBuzz. But it's on Popcorn Talk, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
And you can find that on iTunes, YouTube, all the major platforms.
Yes, everywhere.
And I'll have links below with this episode so you can check out all of Richie's social media and box office breakdown as well.
Also, they can check out my album. It's on iTunes as well. It's called Thirst Trap.
Okay, sounds good. Oh, I like that. I'm going to check it out.
It's fun. It's
fun. Put on. Yeah, sounds good. Well, all that information will be below. Thanks for ranting with us.
Oh, no problem. I enjoy it. been dying to do it.
Yes, I'm glad that you came in. I love talking about the topic, so I know you know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And don't forget to check out your show.
Yes, Richie on the Rocks, every Saturday on All Digital Radio.
There you go. I want to come on there.
Yes, I told you. I got to have you on there.
I want to come on and rant and share. Maybe I can talk a little longer on that one than on this show.
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. We'll have you for at least 2 hours.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Okay. That's a little too much Grant for most people. And our 1 year anniversary episode will be happening at the end of this month. So that's something to be excited about. Richie, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grant's_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson.